Hello, I'm Francisco Agras, narrator. The book I'm about to read for you is a classic in Marian literature about the apparitions at Fatima that occurred in 1917. The text you're about to hear was published in 1947, a mere 30 years after the Fatima apparitions. The author is William Thomas Walsh, a noted American historian, educator, and Catholic author who died in 1949. This book is out of print and in the public domain. By now, in the 21st century, over 100 years later, the story of Fatima continues to reach the hearts of many. Many so-called new untold details continue to surface in stories, books, articles, blogs, YouTube videos, and movies. Yet the basic, richly described details found within this 1947 retelling of the happenings of 1917, The Story of Fatima, by Mr. Walsh, should not be forgotten. About pronunciation of the Portuguese, I ask your forgiveness, and if I do not quite pronounce the Portuguese words as well as a native speaker would, since I'm only fluent in Spanish and certainly not in Portuguese. And about the Portuguese source language. It's easy to forget that we, as English speakers, rely on a translator's version of the words Our Lady spoke in 1917. Our Lady was understood to speak in Portuguese, and more precisely, in the local idiom of the three seer children. Mr. Walsh carefully cites these messages as he found them in the writings of Sister Maria das Dorches, personal documents that she allowed Mr. Walsh to read in 1946 and 1947 for publication in this book. In telling the story, Mr. Walsh naturally prints the English translations of the prayers and admonitions spoken by Our Lady, most of which many Catholics recite by heart, like while praying the rosary. But interestingly, Mr. Walsh, in this book, also presents the source language, Portuguese, spoken by Our Lady. For these lengthy quotes, prayers, and, yes, even a song, a friend who is a native Portuguese speaker was kind enough to let me record her interpretation of the Portuguese words that appear in Mr. Walsh's book, and to use her voice in this presentation. Now, Our Lady of Fatima, by William Thomas Walsh, read by Francisco Agras. The Foreword, written by the Right Reverend William C. McGrath, Director, Our Lady of Fatima Pilgrim Virgin Tour, April 1954. At Fatima, Portugal, on October 13, 1917, 70,000 people witnessed one of the greatest miracles of all time. The sun suddenly turned pale, emitted brilliant rays of multicolored light, spun three times on its axis, and then, to the horror of the assembled multitude, power dived dizzily toward earth. A terrified cry rose from the crowd as thousands fell to their knees, thinking the end of the world was at hand. Among those present was a correspondent for one of the major news services in Portugal. Next day, from Lisbon, he cabled a long and impressive story about the miracle of the sun. But it was never published. Chicago and New York were in the middle of the World Series, and the long dispatch became a one-inch item relegated to page 24, literally snowed under with details of singles, errors, batting averages, and home runs. This incident has been advanced as one of the explanations for the great, so-called, conspiracy of silence concerning one of the most momentous happenings of our generation. Explain it as you will. The fact is that almost a quarter of a century went by before whisperings of the Fatima story began to make themselves heard around the United States. In the early 40s, it was featured in a few pamphlets and occasional articles in religious magazines, read only and duly noted by a comparatively small and devoted clientele. Then suddenly the picture changed. Almost overnight, Fatima became a subject of universal interest. People were speaking of war as a punishment from God for sin, of a peace plan from heaven, brought to earth by the Mother of God in person, of the grim necessity, in the face of the gravest crisis ever to confront humanity, of making sacrifices, of doing penance, and of praying, especially of praying the rosary, for peace and the conversion of Russia. A new book had been published entitled Our Lady of Fatima, and it had jolted us out of the complacency of our fool's paradise. As its author, William Thomas Walsh, pointed out, the Second World War would have been prevented had men listened to the warnings of the Mother of God. The spread of world communism, the annihilation of nations behind an ever-widening iron curtain, the persecution and martyrdom of innocent people, all this had been shown the world at Fatima in a disturbing preview of things to come unless men ceased offending the Son of God, already too grievously offended. Belatedly, but thank God at last, people were beginning to see in its frightening perspective the real nature of the struggle convulsing the world. We were in mortal combat, to the finish, not merely against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of darkness. While there was no doubt as to the final outcome, the world was already paying a ghastly price for its frustration of the saving efforts of the Mother of God through sinful revolt against her divine Son. It was only to be expected, people said, that pious writers should tell the story to the comparatively few readers of religious magazines. It was quite another thing, and America sat up and listened, when one of the most illustrious of contemporary historians lent the prestige of his name to an exhaustive study and documented story of apparitions that, in one way or the other, would change the course of history. Certainly a perusal of Our Lady of Fatima jolted me, the writer of this foreword, out of my own benighted complacency in this regard. I say the word jolted into accepting an assignment of lectures and sermons on the message of Fatima that has now carried me into 44 states over an uninterrupted period of more than 6 years. At the time Dr. Walsh became interested in the story of Fatima, he was recognized as a most distinguished author and scholar. Born in Waterbury, Connecticut, he was educated in his own state and graduated from Yale with an A.B. in 1913. His early career was devoted to teaching in his native state of Connecticut, but it was not until he became a professor of English at Manhattanville College of the Sacred Heart that he turned his attention to writing. While at Manhattanville, he began to write the magnificent biographies Isabella of Spain, Philip II, and the life of Teresa of Avila, which established him as one of the outstanding biographers of his era. In rapid succession, novels, plays, and poetry sprang from his gifted pen. He received the Lettare Medal in 1941. In 1944, the Spanish government awarded him the Cross of Commander of the Order of Alfonso the Wise. In the same year, he received the Catholic Literary Award from the Gallery of Living Catholic Authors. Later in Madrid, the Spanish government again honored him with the Cross of Isabella the Catholic. His books have been published in many foreign languages, and he is known throughout the entire world. This was a man who, hearing the story of Fatima, set aside all of his other works to go to Portugal to collect the material for a book which would tell the story of what had occurred in those momentous months in 1917. This book was Our Lady of Fatima, which more than any other single factor has been instrumental in bringing the miracle of Fatima to the attention of millions of Americans. This sense of Dr. Walsh's tremendous achievement was uppermost in my mind the day we brought the Pilgrim Virgin statue to the room of St. Agnes Hospital, White Plains, New York, where the great apostle of Fatima lay dying. We spoke of the reception awarded his book and its important bearing upon the very survival of America. Knowing him as we did, we spared him the embarrassment of referring to something that, for him, was now of even greater import, the exemplary manner in which he himself had lived the message of Fatima. As he spoke to us quietly and cheerfully, his gaze steadily fixed upon the incomparably beautiful Pilgrim Virgin that had come to him this day from the shrine of Fatima itself. We were impressed, as rarely in our lives before, with the radiant peacefulness of his expression, a peace that was truly not of this world. After all, we told ourselves, it was not hard to understand. It brought suddenly and arrestingly to our minds the promise of Mary at Fatima to those who would be faithful to her requests, that she would assist them at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation. Dr. Walsh has left us, but his clarion call still resounds throughout America, and the menace to which he awakened us grows more serious with the passing hours. In the book, Our Lady of Fatima, William Thomas Walsh asks you the question that Christians all over the world are asking today. If that consecration were to be implemented by a sustained and concerted spiritual drive by Mary's children the world over, what would the results be? Would they not startle the world out of its somnolence? Might they not usher in that period of peace promised by the Mother of God? By the Reverend William C. McGrath, Director, Our Lady of Fatima Pilgrim Virgin Tour, April 1954. The Preface by the author William Thomas Walsh. One of the strangest and most beautiful stories I've ever heard was enacted from 1916 to 1920 in the hill country called the Serra da Aide, in the geographical center of Portugal. Three shepherd children, the oldest 10, the youngest 7, reported 6 times in 1917 that they had seen a lady made holy of light who stood on a small tree speaking to them and then vanished. On the last occasion, in the presence of 70,000 people, she performed a startling miracle to prove the truth of what the children said. 2 of the little shepherds died in childhood, as she had foretold. Time has verified her other prophecies thus far: the Bolshevik Revolution, which began soon after, the horrors of World War II, the menace that Marxism offers to the entire world. The lady said that if her wishes were obeyed, she would convert Russia and there would be peace. If not, every country in the world would be scourged and enslaved. The third shepherd is still living. She's Sister Maria das Dores, Mary of Sorrows, a lay sister of the Institute of St. Dorothy, just 40 years of age. I had a long conversation with her last summer. This book is based principally upon her 4 written but unpublished memoirs in the light of that conversation. The message she has lived to reveal is that of no ordinary lady. It comes, I'm convinced, from the Queen of Heaven and Earth, whose beauty, power, and goodness have been the theme of prophets and saints for thousands of years. She's the maiden of whom Isaiah wrote, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son," the one of whom King Solomon asked, "Who is she that cometh forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in array?" It was to her that the angel Gabriel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And she replied, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." This lady has often changed the course of history. Her rosary, preached by St. Dominic, overthrew the Manichaean heresy that would have destroyed European society. It kept both faith and the love of freedom alive in ire for centuries. It won the Battle of Lepanto, where Christendom was saved from Moslem domination. It was under her special protection that Columbus set out to discover our Western world, changing the name of his flagship from Maria Galante to Santa Maria. And every night, as dusk came over the uncharted and terrifying waste of the Sargasso Sea, his sailors would assemble on the decks to sing her Vesper hymn: "Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope." American Catholics followed this tradition in placing their country under the protection of her Immaculate Conception. And let no one imagine that any sort of brave new world will be able to efface her memory. For at the end of time, before the consummation of this world, there will appear in heaven, or has it already appeared, the sign foretold by St. John in his Apocalypse. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. No one who believes in God and the immortality of the soul should find it incredible that the Mother of Christ, the incarnate God, should have revealed herself to privileged persons at various crises in human affairs. Several of these appearances have been established beyond any reasonable doubt, notably in modern times, the apparitions to Saint Bernadette at Lourdes. But why should she have appeared in Portugal in 1917 and in such a deserted and inaccessible place as the Serra da Aide? It takes all day to get to Fatima, some 90 miles north of Lisboa, first by train and then by bus or taxi, and when one arrives, there's not much to see but a vast moor with sparse vegetation for lean sheep to nibble, and a few wretched villages, by American standards, where humble peasants scrape a bare existence out of a dry, reddish soil. Well, first of all, she appears where it pleases God and her. But the Portuguese have an idea that they were favored partly at least because of their country has always been called a Terra de Santa Maria. And in the Serra near Fatima, regardless of revolutions and apostasies in other places, the poor have clung for centuries with unwavering devotion to the recitation of her rosary. Cova da Iria, the wild place where the apparitions occurred, some 2 miles west of Fatima, was named from the girl martyr Saint Iria, or Irene, who probably had a hermitage there. And 8 miles west of Cova da Iria is a tiny antique chapel, square and ugly, where King João I promised Our Lady that if she gave him victory over the Spanish invaders in 1385, he would raise a more fitting temple in her honor. He kept his promise by building across the road one of the most beautiful Gothic churches in the world, the incredibly graceful and majestic Abbey of Batalha. This book that I wrote is not fictionalized. I owe the conversations chiefly to the precise memory of Sister Doris. Any interest in the story in itself, and it would be a great one even if it had been invented instead of actually happening, is negligible compared to the truth that it was intended by its divine author to convey. I came home from Portugal convinced that nothing is so important as making known what the Mother of God asked in those apparitions of 1917, which for some reason have been so neglected, so distorted, so misunderstood. The future of our civilization, our liberties, our very existence, may depend upon the acceptance of her commands. This preface was written and published in the original book, published in 1947, by the author, William Thomas Walsh.